Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are continuing our discussion. What were we talking about last show?
The highest chakra.
That's right. Sacrifice. And we're going to be continuing that discussion and taking your calls for a reading. So we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to get to you in just a sec. But first, want to invite our caller that's on hold here and the rest of you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We have those accounts linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. The phone number to call, 914-338-0164. If you want to speak with us or want a reading, do press 1 if you would like a reading or to speak with us, because then we'll know that you're not just listening in the queue. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And let's bring on our from 310. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Janet.
Janet, hi. Yes. Janet.
I was wondering if you could, I'm dating someone right now, and I was wondering if you could look at that.
Okay. And we spoke with you. We spoke with you before, didn't we? You're 6'9".
Yeah, this is something new. Only it's something different, and it's quite. Our numerology is interesting. So I was wondering if you could look at that.
Well, yeah. But what is that? The person you're involved with, the 2960, or no?
No.
Okay,
no.
So maybe no. Someone else. Anyway, what's the date of birth for that person?
For this, the person I'm dating now?
Yes, please.
7/6/1969. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, just at the outset, we haven't had a chance to add up his numbers yet. I think your 38112 is why, because I just paged back and saw your name.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember your birthday, but you're 38112. So your month, 6/9, happens to be his year, 1969. Well, not 1969,
right.
But held in his year, 1969, the 6 and the 9. His 6 is his day 6 happens to be your month. So let's just add up. So did you get that birth date, Neil?
No, I need Janet.
Janet's is 6/9/1967. And his, that's really interesting too, because I don't know why I didn't notice that. His is 7/6/69. So your year happened.
Completely.
His month.
Crazy.
And day. We didn't get a name.
Person.
Do you want to give a first name or not?
Sure. His name's Peter.
Peter. Okay. So anyway, so Peter's month and day happens to be in your year. Your years are interchangeable, meaning your first number to his second number in his year becomes his year, and his 6 to your 7 becomes your year 67. So it's an intense connection for sure. 1323, how'd you meet?
We met online, but it's been intense. Is right.
23. They're the same master number. You guys are the same karmic and master number, 38112. So you met online, and it's been intense. So things are going well.
they're going really well. It's just, it's a little bit, it's a whirlwind. It's, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, when you meet someone with this kind of intensity, I mean, the codes suggest a very strong intensity, and when you meet somebody with this kind of intensity, it's more than likely you're going to experience what you are. And because it is rather intense, you probably ended the former relationship, another lifetime, in a great amount of emotional intensity. A lot of people do. They end up, one dies, there's a disruption in the relationship, but they're in love. I mean, something, you'd have to kind of look at the circumstances revolving around his life and revolving around your life, the circumstances revolving around each of your lives, to kind of determine how you might have left off with him. But certainly there was still a bond. Now, the other premise is that you never really got to love each other in another lifetime, and you're finally able to do it in this lifetime. But nonetheless, it's very, very intense. And I don't know why I'm getting images of, this may not make sense to you, but I'm getting images of Coney Island and the bump cars.
I don't know, New York.
Oh, okay.
He was born in New York.
Okay, so that qualifies there.
Yeah.
Why the bump cars? I don't know. I mean, there's a famous scene in Annie Hall where Woody Allen's kind of looking at his life, and he sees it as a bump car metaphor. And I don't know why I'm looking at movies, comedies, comedians, camera work. I don't know what that means.
What does he do?
He's in the fruit and vegetable industry.
The what? Fruit and vegetable?
Industry, yeah.
Well, Far Cry
from movies.
Fruit and vegetable. Well,
like doing what? Like
sells and
he sells produce.
Yeah.
Like to supermarkets and things like that.
Do you have an
let her finish. I'm sorry, you were saying
big nationwide distributor.
Okay. So go ahead, Neil.
Do you have an affinity to movies or comedies or Woody Allen or?
He's super, super funny. He has really an amazing humor.
Oh, what kind of humor?
Goofy, not just funny, just witty, just funny.
Is he having that?
Online.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's a good match, you want to say? It's a strong match. Kristen said everything kind of lines up. Your numbers are interchangeable in some respects.
I mean, they're compounded. That would be the tricky part of, you know, where it might get sticky in.
They're compounded.
Between the two
they
come
to a four.
Four.
From
two
sexual
two.
Chakra.
Right.
But 67 and 76 is a 13-4, so there's a relationship there in the heart factor. Do you know anything about his father having heart problems or anybody in the family with heart problems?
I don't know anything about that, no.
How about your family?
My mom.
Okay.
What kind of heart problem?
She has AFib, and it's giving her trouble.
Oh.
Okay, these are but validations.
Yeah.
I mean, is there something specific you want to know? You're asking?
No, I was just looking to see what you thought of it and what bumps I might want to avoid, I guess. Where we might collide a little bit. Any guidance there?
Have there been any incidents up to this point between the two of you that have, you know, rubbed you the wrong way or been questionable?
No, we seem to navigate pretty smoothly through. You know,
and how often do you see each other? I mean, is this a long distance relationship? What
We see each other like every other day.
Every other day. So you're really intensely involved.
Where's the divorce? Who's divorced?
We both are.
Yeah. Well, that amounts to your compounded energy.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you want to worry about something, if you want to throw the ball as far as you can, and you want, if you have to worry about something, it would be a sense of infidelity.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. But that's, you know, the fact that 38-11 twos or 29-11 twos can have problems in, you know, with relationships, you know, sexual impropriety, things like that.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that right at the moment. I mean,
yeah.
That's not what I mean, if you want to worry, if you have to.
I don't want to worry.
Has he ever cheated before, you know, on a spouse? Or
I have no idea.
Another. Sounds like, I mean, you've seen each other a lot, and you've been together, involved for a few months, you said?
Not even. It's been weeks.
Oh, it's been weeks.
It's been crazy, crazy fast.
So it's really premature. I mean, it's a lot of these questions we're asking, you don't know the answers to because it's really early on in the relationship. You know, I would ask a lot of questions and get to know him more, obviously.
Yeah.
Try to get answers to some of these questions asking, you know, get family history.
You're Janet and he's Peter. Reminds me of Jane and Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's something about the movies. I don't know.
You're in Southern California, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that I might be.
Do you have kids, Janet?
I do.
You have two kids?
I have five. I have two still with me, though.
Oh, okay, so two are with you. You have five kids,
right.
But two with you. And what does he have? Does he have three kids? Or
four.
What does he have? Four?
And what are what sex are his kids?
Two boys, two girls.
Which is interesting because those are your master numbers, two and two.
I am picking up kids. Something's correct. I don't know. I mean, you can think in your own mind. You don't need to express it. You ever cheated on anybody? If you ever were prompted to play two people once? No. Okay, good. So it's not going to be... Not you. So I don't know if he would. I mean, the suggestion of you two being compounded to a two qualifies as having a divorce, kids. So that might just take care of the whole package there. There is, if you want to know the truth, you'll know more.
She doesn't want to know the truth.
if you want to know more, you got to wait till Christmas, December. And if you're still around him, that will be significant month. It will change things. If you don't break up before then, I don't know. But if you don't, then I'm getting December. Anybody born December in the family?
Not mine.
Okay. So December might be a revealing month. Has he talked about long range plans, or has he gotten to a point where he has suggested he'd like to be in an intense relationship with you?
Yeah, he has already.
And I imagine you both have been intimate?
Yes.
Well, then wait till December. You know, we got September, October, November, December. Around December, I'm seeing a lot of activity, if you're still with them. I'm expecting you will be. I don't know, but if you are, yeah. Were you a smoker?
No.
No? Who smokes around you?
Does he?
Well, did your parents when you were growing up?
No.
But you're asking, does he, like, you don't know? He doesn't smoke, does he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would think you would know that or smell it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If cigarette smoking's mentioned, even in passing or in a brief way, take a little mental note of that and get back to us.
Okay.
Because out of your voice is coming a theme of cigarette smoking. That's why I asked. Doesn't mean I had to eliminate certain things. You don't smoke. Your parents didn't smoke.
No smoking of any kind.
So if there's no smoking of any kind, then I'm getting a vibe from your voice about something about, so now it could be something coming up. There's going to be a discussion. Maybe he'll say one of his kids smokes too much pot. I don't know. But something's going to come up about smoking, you see.
I have one that does smoke pot.
Okay. That would be the relayed. So, yeah, when we went, that would have been the answer. Yes, I have a child that smokes pot.
Yeah. So are you alarmed? Are you concerned?
Anyone around
about
you smokes?
Yeah, my feelers are up. I'm watching it.
Okay, so that's why we're picking it up.
How old are your kids, Janet? 19.
She's 19.
Oh, you have one. Oh,
no, I have more than one, but that's the
You have more than one.
I have five.
You have five, but you lost three.
No.
No.
She went two at the home. And
oh, two at the
abroad.
Home. So what? So 19, and what's the other child's age?
16.
16. Okay.
So
those
the 19-year-old is smoking pot?
A lot, yeah.
Is she depressed? Is she homebound?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a concern there.
Yeah.
Okay. Does she have friends?
What's her birthday?
There's issues.
What do you mean issues? I mean, we have a little time.
They're having trials right now.
Trials. Okay.
Yeah.
What's her birthday?
Hers is 4/26/2000.
So that the 4 involves the 2 of the Peter and your master numbers. 4, 6, 12, 14, 5.
Has she talked? I don't want to alarm you. I don't want to alarm you, so don't get alarmed, okay? But I'm just going to ask you some simple questions. Has she mentioned anything about suicide or dying or anything dark?
No. But
what
I'll, yeah, I'm going to get closer to seeing what's going on with her.
You better.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't pick that up. We wouldn't pick
no,
that up.
No, you would pick it up for no reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to step closer and you know.
Yeah,
and you're saying there's issues. You're going to say, sorry. No.
Well, don't incite an argument. If you. If,
No.
Yeah, okay.
Is she being. The relationship with the friends, is it more that they're troubled and you're concerned about the influence that they're going to have, that they're having over her, or is she
no she's
distancing
having
herself from her friends or being
right
distanced from her friends because
right
they're more you know, they're not supporting her depression or involved in the same thing she is or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so
they're having issues like that.
They're ostracized, kind
not,
of an
not a bad influence.
They're more ostracizing her. There's a division.
Yeah.
Time by herself.
Pardon me?
Does she spend a lot of time by herself?
She spends a lot of time with her boyfriend.
Oh.
Is he a bad influence?
I don't think so.
Does he smoke? Does he have tattoos?
Yeah. Yeah, he does have some.
Oh. Tattoos?
Yeah.
Well, does she live at home?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is their arrangement? She has a boyfriend. They live at home. What do they share a bedroom there? What's their arrangement?
Yeah, they go back and forth from his mom's house to my house.
And he spends the night there?
Of course. Uh huh.
Does he work?
He's looking for work right now.
Yeah. What kind of work is he looking for?
He worked for in the automotive industry with his dad. But then he left the place where his dad was at, and he's going to try and find somewhere else without his dad.
He has trouble with his father?
No, I just think it's hard to work under his father.
Yeah. Because I was seeing mechanical things around them, like an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Well,
but I think it just complicates working with a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell.
You know, talk to your daughter. We'll talk to your daughter if you want extra work done or something. You can give us a call. But If not.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I'm going to give you a call.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty.
Janet, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You'll hear from me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay, so we can spend some time talking. Light on calls today, but that's okay. So we're talking about the element of sacrifice in the last show. And I'm not sure where we left off, Neil.
Well, we were relating it to 9/11 and the highest form of sacrifice being that that there's a spontaneous act of sacrifice where you just see somebody in trouble and you plunge right in and help.
Right, and you know there was the debate over, you know, if a person is consciously weighing the risks when an act like this occurs, if they're going to save somebody. Obviously, there might be some cognizance of bodily injury or things like that, but usually it's the energy of them being so concerned for someone else's well-being that is most remarkable, rather than, you know, whether they're having an ethical debate
yeah.
in their heads. It's the energy of saving somebody.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's spontaneous, sometimes it's premeditated.
Obviously, there are different variables.
You know, someone is trapped somewhere and you're going to go in and deliberately try to save them, but you know there's great risks involved. This thing about the conception, the diving boat where everybody was killed under the deck.
Oh, under the deck.
And now there's revealing that they really didn't have a proper night crew and the flames were too intense for them, but all the crew members jumped ship, were able to jump ship. I'm sure the flames were too intense and such tight quarters, they had no outlet, but there might have not been a necessary preparation of exit routes, but the ship was designed to almost be a death pit in case of fires, and they had too many things plugged in and their cell phones, who knows how it started. But here again, when we relate something like this on a smaller scale to something, not to diminish it, but on a smaller scale to something like 9/11, to something like the wars where soldiers go in and risk their lives, to something like firemen, policemen.
Well, and it's not diminishing it, but the scale of loss is different
yeah.
than like something like 9/11, obviously, or a war.
It all, you know, it's the idea of sacrifice. People sacrifice. I mean, we see it around the whole planet. Whether we agree with the motive behind the sacrifice or not, enemies sacrifice their lives and allies sacrifice their lives.
Right. And on either side, you know, the cause is going to be.
Oh, and then the cause. And then it gets really crazy
mm-hmm.
with suicide bombers. That's a sacrifice.
Right.
However,
well,
nauseating and destructive.
Yeah.
And then there are people who deliberately join something to save lives. Like we said, firemen, rescue teams, things like this. And then there are people who are under pledge to protect the environment, protect the public, like policemen or environmentalists or whatever they may be, naturalists, protecting, going in and fighting poachers and things like this.
Well, and what's interesting about it is these people that are signing up to save people's lives may not be people that are of spiritual nature at all. I mean, they can be totally physical people and, you know, concerned about the well-being of their fellow men. However, you know, if ultimately they do sacrifice their lives for the benefit of somebody else, then
right.
that is measurable on a level of spiritual transcendence, at least.
Yeah, I don't.
On some note,
here it's not a
advancement.
I mean, there are people who believe in God who reek of spirituality, and they wouldn't have the guts to save anybody. They live comfortable lives. There's nothing to condemn them for, but they are spiritualists with comfort. Then there are those who don't believe in God, give a hoot about spirituality, but their very breath is to protect people. Now, how would they judge? I don't
right.
think they need.
Interesting question.
It's not a matter. I mean, if your breath is composed of being on the planet to help save, protect, I think that is just as spiritual as someone who talks about God all the time and quotes scriptures or meditates and doesn't really do more than that, but lead quiet, very, very conventional lives, nice to people, every once in a while does a food drive or something. How do we, there's no judgment, but I think in the desperate breath of sacrifice, there's a definition that exceeds spirituality. I think people who sheerly sacrifice their lives for others have sometimes a higher spirituality than someone
who has a spiritual walk throughout their life, but it's more of a, unremarkable existence as far as what they're doing for others. Because it can be, I mean, being spiritual, you can be very, isolated, I don't want to say self-serving, it's the wrong terminology, but, you can be in your own bubble, so to speak. But I want to take this caller, Neil, because I don't want to lose the caller. 312 area code. Hi.
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 How are you all?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I called you guys a few months back, and I have to go because I was at a doctor's appointment. But I was calling today because I just wanted to know, like, some things. There is, like, something I would like to know more so about a love relationship. But at this point, I would just like to know, like, whatever you're led to tell me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because I don't
want
to, like, ask too many questions.
If there's something specific, I mean, we can do that. What's your name?
Brandy.
Brandy, and your birth date?
5/28/81.
I wrote down an 8. I don't remember your call, actually, Brandy, but I wrote down an 8 before you gave us your birth date. 8 happens to be the second number in your day and also the first number in your year, 8. So 15, 25 plus 9 is, she's 34/7. Okay. So, if you have a specific question.
Well, she wants to know about a relationship.
Yeah, she does, but she's saying, well, whatever you pick up, too. So do you want to ask about the relationship? I mean, it would help to have the person's birth date.
Sure. Okay, so his birth date is April 3rd of 80.
Through 1980. So he holds your karmic and master number in his month and day. And he's the same master number as you, different karmic number. I'm just adding her. What is wrong with me here? Hold on.
Yeah, this is pretty intense.
Another intense relationship. Just real quick, Brandy, I don't know if we asked you this last time, but you would have had something happen in 2015 when you were 34 years old. What, if anything, occurred at that time, if you remember?
The only thing that's really significant in that year for me is my divorce.
Well, that's a huge significance. I mean, that's major.
Yeah.
So you were divorced in 2015. Okay. How long were you married?
Before the divorce was final, it hit on 9 years.
9 years, so 2 years beyond
but
your master.
We separated right before the 8th year. A year before, yeah.
A year before, so it would have been eight years you separated at 8 years, at the 8 year mark or at the 7 year mark?
It was May of 2014, like right after my birthday, we separated.
So it's interesting.
I'm sorry. Thinking about it, we actually separated the day before my ex-husband's birthday. June 19th of 14 is like the last time we slept in the same house, the last time we were pretty much in a relationship.
Okay. So the 8 that I mentioned also is having ring in this instance with the amount of time you were with your husband before you actually moved out and we're not living under the same roof. So 8 years is the length of your relationship. Essentially, until you moved out. Obviously, it was longer because the divorce took a while, but that 8 is significant in that regard. So did you add this guy up? He's 25-7.
Yes, 25-7. What's your husband's birth date? Your ex?
6-19 something.
Yeah, my ex-husband. My ex-husband's birthday is June 20th.
Oh, it's 6-1.
What year?
1979.
Yeah, he's a 34-7-2 like you. Oh boy, what a mess. did you have any kids?
Yes, we had 2.
Yeah. Mess. Well, you found another 7, not by 34 equals 7, by 25 equals 7. His month and day 4-3 is your inverted karmic number of 34. So, but again, you see the thing why you're having these problems, and don't forget your first two numbers are 5-2, and then invert that 25. That's this guy's karmic number. So you came to the planet probably to marry your husband, but it was before your karma, so it was inevitably a divorce because you married him before you married him in karma. It was intense, so you had. So the intensity of the past life was very intense, so you had children. Then you divorce, and now you meet another guy who's the same master number who has significance. So what that means is that in a past life, you had a conflict with two men, too. Now this guy's coming in, and this could be, I don't know, you might have trouble with this guy, but I wouldn't eliminate the idea that this guy could be long-term.
I missed the birthday because I had to step away for a moment of the guy.
620.
But what about the guy she's involved with now?
438.
Well, I'm not involved with him anymore. I just truly felt like he was my twin flame or is my twin flame. And right now, we haven't really spoke to one another since October of last year. And as much as I let go of the situation and try to move forward and move on, it's just always something that makes it where, you know, he comes into my mental space or just something. Like I end up knowing someone that he knows or, you know, it's just something. And I'm like, okay, this isn't a coincidence. Like what is, you know, like, I just don't understand.
You know, Brandy, I stepped away for just a moment, but I don't know if Neil already told you this, but I was mentioning that your karmic number 34 is his month and day, 3-4-3 inverted, and your first two numbers happen to be his karmic number 25-7, so and they're both inverted. As far as being a twin flame, you know, it's a soulmate relationship. The two of you have a soulmate relationship. Mm-hmm. There's a karmic connection. That's the basis of the relationship. And that can be very compelling because there's that past life history that brings you two together. And there's that magnetism that karmic relationships create. I mean, it's totally normal. A twin flame relationship is a totally, or twin soul is what we call it, is a totally different category. And what you read online about twin souls, twin flames, a lot of inaccuracies. So this would, according to our theories, be a karmic soulmate relationship. Why did you two break up?
Well, we were just pretty much friends for like 6 or almost 7 years. And we never put a exclusivity on things. So we both were like dating other people. And then like he did something that was really hurtful and I stopped talking to him. And then like He tried to pretty much apologize for it and stuff, and we talked again. And then I found out that he was talking to someone. He brought a third party in, pretty much. And so we just decided, like, well, he didn't tell me until after we hadn't spoke. He just pretty much told me, you know, that she was around or whatever. And then, like, a month after that, he announced that she was his girlfriend, and me and him haven't spoke anymore. When we did, he, like, got in between our conversation, so I just dropped everything and moved on.
Well, you know, I
but
mean,
it was very, very hurtful.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I can see that. The energy between the two of you is still very real. You're going to... Did your husband ever cheat on you?
Yes.
So you've got a problem coming into the world. It might be a karmic vein going on where you encounter men that cheat. And basically the cheating, I suspect sometimes cheating is due to immaturity and ego, things like that. So it's not that you're choosing the wrong men. You're choosing men you're supposed to be choosing. The problem is that in this lifetime, these men are immature, and they think more with their lower chakra than they do their higher chakra.
And it may be in a past life that she was unfaithful to someone, which is why it's coming up in this lifetime. Have you ever been unfaithful to anyone yourself, Brandy?
Yeah, my first husband.
Okay, so that's also a karmic situation where you're,
yeah.
I mean, it's not only past life, but you've done it in this lifetime, so sometimes...
Instant. Both of these, both of these could have been long range. You've created kind of a complicated situation. You have kids, you've got men that come and then they cheat, and you've done some cheating. What you need to do is wash the plate clean. You need to
do your dishes.
You need to really get down into your soul and release a lot of things. And redesign your attitude about the kind of man you want in your life, who you want to be. You're very lucky. Go ahead.
That's what I've been doing. You know, like, I've stopped having sex. You know, when I date, you know, it's more so conversation. I'm interested, you know, in what they have to say, what kind of character they have, you know, like, I don't even have sex, period, like, and I won't even move forward with someone unless I'm sure or I feel, you know, comfortable enough to say, hey, okay, I'm willing to move forward with you and see where this goes, you know, but even with that, you know, like, I had a 2-month relationship this year, and it was an older guy, and, you know, he knew, like, we were friends for 2 years, and so he knew, you know, what my expectations were as far as the relationship and, you know, the type of person that I am now. So I still found out that he was doing extra stuff. Like, he may not have been cheating per se physically, but he was just still doing unacceptable things, and so I broke things off with him, you know. And it's like, okay, at this point, you know, I'm putting into the universe the things that, you know, I would like as far as in a mate. But it's like this one guy I just can't seem to, like, erase from my memory.
Because, so what? So he comes in. He's coming in because of the vibration, not because it's meant to happen. The vibration is still there, but the problem, that's no big surprise. The problem is he's immature, and he hurt you, and he cheated. He proclaimed to have another girlfriend. So what if you see her, you know?
There's something that can be done aside from what you're doing, which is all great, because it sounds like you're kind of redesigning your own approach to relationships.
Right.
Changing your behavior, which is excellent, but there's something else maybe psychically that needs to occur where the energy field changes. So you're able to bring in a partner who you're desiring and is going to be faithful to you.
Let me give you an example, Brandy. Let's say you sat out in the sun and got the worst sunburn you ever had. Now you stay in the house for a while and you go outside and you see the sun again and you go, gee, I guess I'm supposed to sit in the sun again. There it is. You see, that would be stupid. You're supposed to take precautions.
Neil, you're the king of analogies. You really are.
He's got great
analogies.
But that's what you're doing. You're not, you're thinking because you see it, you're supposed to repeat your action. No.
Mm-hmm.
What the test is that you see him and you say, you know what, that wasn't good for me. I need to take precautions. That's not the kind of man I'm asking for. And I've got to learn to protect myself. So that's what you're doing. I don't think you're, personally, I think you're going to have to work at this meditation until you're maybe 39. That's going to be five years past the age of 34. And you have a five in your energy.
Month.
Your multiples are seven, but it's not divisible by 34. So 41 might happen, 42. But I'm going to suggest that maybe 39, not that far away.
Well, it seems like probably a really long time to her.
Well, maybe. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't meet somebody in that time, but be cautious. Be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
See, like the sunburn, your skin hasn't really reformed yet. Your soul, your spirit, your heart hasn't reformed yet. And you think just because it doesn't hurt when you touch it, I'm okay now. No, you're not okay yet. You have a long history of this. And just because you meditate for a couple of months doesn't mean you're going to be all better. So just keep what you're doing. Be cautious. Be reasonable with the element at hand, the men, i.e. the sun, and take precaution. It's okay to date, to talk, give it time. And then you're on the right path, but don't be so eager. Just give it time. You're on the right path. You're doing the right thing.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
You're welcome, Brandy. You're welcome. And keep in touch. You can follow us on Facebook. We'd love it if you did. You can like our page for the show and so on and so forth. But definitely stay connected.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for right now. We had another caller, but that person
and how much time do we have
dropped. Left? We've had a couple of people drop. We've got about 13 minutes.
Well, we were talking about the content of sacrifice and the attitude of sacrifice. And the difference between spiritual sacrifice and just physical sacrifice, emotional,
but how,
ethical.
Right, and how that physical sacrifice might get an abundance of spiritual points, even if you're not spiritually minded.
If I was in a burning building and I had the choice of an atheist saving me or a spiritualist praying for me,
I would choose the atheist saving you, yeah.
It's important to be spiritual. It's important. It's important to carry that attitude. But I have a lot of respect for the adventurer that just believes in survival and will risk his life for you and doesn't give a hoot about God. I mean, so he doesn't. God is a belief. It's not an action. The action that stems from believing in God is what's measurable. But many will say, oh, I believe.
Or the action that doesn't stem from the belief in God because...
Yeah, that can be bad,
you know,
too. That can be bad, too. But I'm talking about the quote, let's talk about the atheist that will sacrifice his life for you. I mean, that's even more remarkable because...
Yeah, because they don't believe in an afterlife.
Yeah.
They just think that this is it. So
this
that means they're giving up everything for
and that's someone the whole, else. That's the whole thing, I think, what says a man that gives up his life for his, a person that gives up his life for his fellow human being.
Okay, we don't need to be PC.
Yeah.
A man or a woman.
It has a higher honor, in my mind, because they're giving up the very thing they believe in, which is life. Life. And I think that has an honorable mention to it that is very significant. But if we dare to go into the element of spirituality and examine what is sacrifice for spirituality.
That's, yeah.
Well, the question, okay, here's Christ talking to the rich man. Are you willing to, oh, I do everything. I do everything. Christ goes, mm-hmm, okay, okay, good. Okay, well, are you willing to give up all your riches and follow me? And the rich guy goes, oh, no, no, no. See, now that was a, so he looked at him, according to the scripture, he looked at him and decided, okay, I'm not asking him to die for anyone. I'm asking,
just to give up his material wealth,
yeah.
and to
that would be
devote
the
his life
sacrifice.
To. Right. So, I mean, then it brings up the question, what does it really take to get off the planet? And, you know, I think that there is a misconception about, you know, most people, Western religion believe, you know, you die and you go to heaven. That's what you live a pretty good life and you get to go to heaven.
There are several illusions, you know. There are many rooms in my father's mansion. Then you go, it's harder for a rich man, for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man. But don't judge. The meek will be first. And, you know, so it doesn't, I think our form of judgment is all screwed up. Because none of us can really say who's going to go to heaven.
We
there
cannot.
This pastor
no,
just
true.
Committed suicide, who was on a, he was actually on a suicide prevention. He founded, he had a church and he founded this church and he helped people with emotional problems. But his stance, I forget his name, but his stance was depression is a disease. And if cancer kills you because it's a disease and it kills you, that doesn't mean that the person with cancer won't go to heaven. Well, if depression is a disease and depression kills you and it's a disease, does that mean that I won't go to heaven?
Well,
and the people in the congregation are saying, are supporting him and saying that he's probably in heaven now, you know,
but,
their form of thinking.
Well, there's a difference though, because cancer obviously ravages the body so much, and when it kills you, that you end up dying. Versus when there's depression, there's no judgment on depression or anything. But when there's depression and someone commits suicide, that's a conscious act. There's a difference. It can't be measured
but
the same way.
But unless you categorize depression as a disease, as a sickness, as something that ravages the mind, because this man believed in God. He did good work. He knew his territory very well, but depression was crippling. There's depression in my family and suicide in my family. So I know that depression, and in my background, my profession, I've dealt with depression, the people who are depressed, and treated people and dealt with people who are depressed. So depression can be a disease. Yeah, you can roll up your sleeves and say, come on, you know, be positive.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But a depressed person, when you take your own life, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. So that has to be considered when someone's soul is judged. And yes, there's some grace, I'm sure, for people that suffer from depression, but you also have to assume that someone who suffers from depression is suffering from karma.
Right.
You know, and what causes that depression? Where is it coming from? Why are they in the state that they're in? And why, and what is their test in any
right.
specific lifetime to be able to soldier through whatever it is that they're faced with and not succumb to their
right.
own.
Well, of course, we take that ground and we don't advocate depression. And we don't.
You mean suicide?
We don't. Everybody should be depressed and commit suicide while you're at it. But the idea that if depression is a disease and the medical field recognizes it's a disease, we have drugs to treat it, and it's a legitimate form of an excuse. I'm depressed. You go to a doctor. You get medication. you're manic depressed. You can be categorized as
right, as
a sickness.
Bipolar, which is manic depression, or you know, clinically depressed. I've got it in my family too. So I mean, you know, most people have someone they know that suffers from depression.
Right.
It's not, you know,
well, this guy,
uncommon.
I mean, this guy had a son who took pride in. He loved. He played baseball. It was the. I mean, obviously, this man didn't want to lose his life and sacrifice in that respect everything that he had on the planet. So if we look at depression, and it still is a disease that needs to be studied deeply, because the brain structure, the cellular structure and the brain chemistry of people who are depressed has a marked indication that there are regions of the brain that are shut down. And when those regions are shut down, there may not be, I mean, to me, suicide would take a lot of courage. To kill yourself is not a, it might be a way to escape, but to actually kill yourself,
majorly,
I think would take a lot of nerve.
Majorly, a lot of nerve. But on the other hand, there are people that believe that suicide may not have dire effects on the soul, and they do believe in an afterlife, and they think, you know, if I escape this, the universe is vast and I'm not going to be condemned, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So those that are of that mind, committing suicide, yes, it is. I mean, you're killing yourself. So it's a major, I would be very afraid to do it. But if someone believes in afterlife and doesn't believe they're going to be condemned, then it may be, they may feel like suicide is going to be something that saves them. You know, I mean, we had someone from the radio show that thought and didn't really take our advice and ended up
in the
doing it.
Well, I guess us living human beings that are concerned with these things, what we do is we try to be there. And according to our capacity and our profession, we act accordingly with people who are depressed. But we're kind of deviating from the subject at hand, which is sacrifice. I guess you could say a sacrifice of self, but if it's the sacrifice of self because you're trying to avoid a condition or a situation, I don't know if that's really a sacrifice. It's more of an attempt to escape by murdering oneself. Those that sacrifice oneself for the sake of others, people who deliberately burn themselves on the street because everybody's as a protest, and they go into the middle of the street and they burn themselves because of a human rights issue or some kind of disaster regarding imprisonment or something like this. Well, how do we judge that? What do we do with that?
So we don't judge it.
Well,
it's judged by, you know,
but,
obviously higher.
But we as living beings still have to form some kind of opinion about that. We have to. We just can't turn our backs on things like that. Oh, he burned himself. Well, okay. You know, and turn around and have another cup of coffee. We've got to get to a place where we really look at what the idea of sacrifice is, whether it's heroic or whether it's in some other guise or condition. I think it's an important term to think about. And it's something that we're all going to have to face inevitably, because we do, without voluntary effort, we do sacrifice ourselves to death. We're all going to die. And that point is going to come. And we have to face that time at one point and start to consider it as we get older. And I think that's important too, in terms of what kind of life have you sacrificed for the sake of others, and still have a reasonably healthy
and enjoyable life?
It doesn't always have to end in such dire consequences.
Okay, well, we've got to wrap up for now, but we can talk again on Tuesday. Actually, we're on the air Tuesday and Friday next week, so do tune in on Tuesday, the 17th of September at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Bye.